Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Cricket Australia's Chief Executive, Nick Hockley. Nick, it's great to see you over this side of the ditch.
Jared, thank you. It's great to be here. What a morning. Absolutely fantastic. I can't believe we were still batting right the way through to lunch.
It's so charming here. I know you've been able to take that in, but fans on the field at the lunch break? You could never imagine this back home, could you?
Well, it's just a beautiful ground. I think this is a fantastic initiative. It's something we did after the end of play, but to do it in the lunch break and get the players to have a really great close look up the pitch is fantastic. But what a glorious setting. Not a cloud in the sky. I had a good wander around yesterday and watched a few overs sitting under a tree, so it's just absolutely magnificent.
They are great images, as you're right, particularly at the end of the MCG and the SCG test, when you have the groundswell of the public out on the ground and so close to everything.
Totally. And you know, that's what it's all about, getting up close to the action. I think watching our batting innings, the New Zealand players are all out signing autographs in between the overs, and it's a really intimate setting, and great to see so many kids here watching Test cricket.
What do you think of the Cam Green innings?
I'm thrilled for Cam. I think it's brilliant. I think it's been in him. I think just great to see him standing tall with that confidence. And you know, I think going back to Shield, that knock-in Shield, they're pretty similar conditions. It just really kind of vindicates the selector's decision to stick him in at four, and you know, hopefully this is he'll build on this with many more to come. Absolutely fantastic knock.
Do they brief you, the selectors, when they're going to do something particularly like Smith to the top and Green at four? Do they give you a little heads up as to what the rationale is?
Oh, I talk mainly to see how they're going, but you know, that's their job. And I think over the last really 2 years, their selections have been vindicated in all formats.
He's 24 years of age, Green. He's the young man in the team. What sort of figure in Australian cricket is he as the next generation?
Well, look, I think he's been identified as a prodigious talent. I think he's a player for the modern era. I think amazing to say, you know, a really incredible all-rounder, but emerging as the batter that he is. And yeah, I think what's been most pleasing about this past season is really coming through, whether it's all formats, but particularly white ball. We've seen players coming through the Big Bash, getting opportunities in the international setup. So it just shows that there are opportunities. Obviously, a hugely settled men's test side, but it's just great to have so many really ready to come through and compete for places.
The Australian-New Zealand rivalry. So this is the first time that we've been here for Test cricket in 8 years. The Chapel Hadley is not played annually. So I think there's a craving to play it annually. Do we fully exploit Australia and New Zealand, do you think, at the moment?
Well, I think there's a great relationship between the two boards. I mean, I spent 1 week in six here in Wellington when we effectively JV'd to host the 2015 Cricket World Cup. There's huge rivalry. There's also huge respect. I think we're very much looking forward to the return series. We are discussing playing four test matches in the return summer in 3 years' time. So with the discussions that we've had here with friends, so we just want to make sure we keep playing as regularly as we possibly can.
Is there any possibility of an annual Chapel Hadley, even if it was just a one-off game over on these shores?
Well, I think the something that we're contending with is just a really busy schedule. Yeah. So the next four-year FTP is pretty well set. But you know, what we're seeing here is just, you know, sellouts for every day of the Test series. Great turnouts for the T20. I think it was great to have T20 now included in the Chappell Hadley Trophy, giving that even more context. So it's something we'll certainly continue to keep talking about.
Are you empathetic to, clearly Test cricket here costs New Zealand money, whereas Australia makes money from the Test cricket that you stage? Do you have a sympathy for that on this side of things?
Look, I mean, what we're seeing here in New Zealand is, and in particularly in Wellington, is just an absolute love for the game. You know, I think New Zealand cricket are going really well. I think they punch above their weight on the field and off the field. I mean, we've seen them get to so many semi-finals and finals of ICC World events. I mean, the work we're doing at the moment is really to build on the context that's been set by the World Test Championship and really make sure that we're keeping Test cricket healthy in all countries. I think this last summer in Australia, I mean, there was a lot of kind of skepticism about Pakistan, West Indies ranked 6th and 8th, but they absolutely turned up and really gave us a very, very good run. And West Indies obviously famously won the Test at the Gabba. So, you know, I think calls that, you know, Test cricket is dying or under threat are kind of exaggerated, and it's just proving. You only have to look out here. You only have to look at our past Test summer to see that, you know, it's very, very resilient.
Do you wish this was a three-Test series?
Personally, I really do. But then, you know, the administrative hat is, again, it's a really congested schedule. I think we should be aiming for three Test series as a minimum wherever we possibly can. But yeah, as you say, we've got to work on making sure that Test cricket is economically viable and healthy right across the world. And it does take more space in the calendar, and it does cost more.
How familiar are you with the Martin Snedden paper that he presented to the ICC?
We spent great to catch up with Martin here yesterday. So very much involved with that piece of work. I think Australia, Cricket Australia, we've got we've got good influence, and I think we've got a really important role to play around the ICC in terms of driving strategy. I think that Cricket Australia has been behind many of the developments, whether that's the introduction of the World Test Championship. So very intimately familiar. I'm on the working group, the FTP working group with the ICC, and making sure that we're keeping all three formats healthy and strong, that we're growing the game in all territories, and it's just brilliant to see the way that the T20 World Cup in the US has been embraced. I understand that ticket sales were 20 times oversubscribed when they were released. So I think cricket has a great opportunity to have a format strategy where all the formats play a role and all fit together. And that is really the essence of the work that Martin has started. And it's incumbent on all of us as members working together to make sure that we continue to take it forward.
There was a depiction that India, Australia and England essentially rolled their eyes and put that on the shelf. Do you reject that?
Categorically. I think there was some misreporting around that, and certainly the discussions I'm in at the moment are very much thinking about how we can optimise the calendar and we can continue to grow cricket around the world.
So you're very clear around what you would like Test cricket to be and what Australians' role in that can be. What practically, I understand that you're discussing it at the moment, but what practically might that amount to?
So practically it is making sure that the World Test Championship is given greater prominence. So each Test series has context. I think it's looking at the economic viability in different territories and how we make sure that it is economically viable for those countries where it isn't. Still for Australia, for England, we've seen with India coming for five Tests next summer, men's Test cricket is the most valuable property for Australian cricket. So it's really working together. And then on the calendar, it's trying to configure the calendar in a way that there's space for all three formats.
Is there a model in which, say, the West Indies, and I think they did a good job of articulating just how costly it is to have tours in Australia for them, so it lit the future for them, but it also costs them millions of dollars. Is there an economic model where they could profit from being in Australia and putting the game on?
Look, I think the global player economy is something that we're talking about, and making sure that the very best players are playing Test cricket, and making sure that boards are prioritising Test cricket. As I've said, and I've been consistent on this, I really believe that domestic T20 leagues and international cricket can coexist. I think this summer in Australia is an absolute perfect case in point. You've seen players like Fraser McGurk, like Matt Short, come through and then go on to international honours. And we in Australia, we play Big Bash head-to-head with Test cricket, but we always prioritise Test cricket. We prioritise international cricket, and we need to help those countries around the world do the same.
On a BBL front, are you giving serious consideration to expansion?
I've seen the speculation in the media, and the first thing I'd say is it's great that there's so much interest in the Big Bash leagues. It was a phenomenal summer. Crowds are up over 25%, and on the women's side, we were thrilled with the stadium series. Overall, attendance was up over 50%. So it's great to see the BBL thriving, and I would say whether it's the clubs or whether it's the team at the Big Bash leagues, a huge amount of work's gone into that, and we've put extra investment into promoting the Big Bash. So thanks for everyone that's turned up. Look, no decisions been made. It's very early days, but we're always thinking about ways in which we can grow and what the next evolution looks like, and we'll continue to work on that.
How ambitious is Canberra being? Do they have your ear?
I think we talk to all the different jurisdictions. I mean, what's great is there's interest in all our content. We're currently talking about where we play women's and men's international cricket over the next 7 years. So, you know, I think publicly they've stated that their ambition. But as I said, it's early days, and it's something certainly we'd need to make sure that if we did go down that route, it was going to benefit Australian cricket as a whole.
The imaginative minds have turned to New Zealand, and what was it, Jakarta and Singapore as well. Could you ever imagine a BBL which stretched beyond our shores?
Again, it's early days. I commend the kind of expansive thinking. It's brilliant. We've got really bold aspirations. We'd love to see every single game of the Big Bash and the Women's Big Bash sold out. We want to see the Women's Big Bash played in major stadiums across the country. So, again, just great to see the level of interest, and you know, nothing's off the table. It would have to benefit Australian cricket more broadly.
On the question of stadiums, which there's two open questions at the moment. One is Tasmania. If the Hobart Stadium does go ahead for the AFL team and beyond, would cricket find a home there? Would you like cricket to find a home there?
I think very definitely we'd like to play in a new stadium. I mean, we've seen stadium upgrades in Perth. I mean, the Scorchers just get massive crowds. We've seen the upgrade in Adelaide Oval and how the Strikers turn out. A modern state-of-the-art stadium in Hobart, I think, would be absolutely. And, you know, we sit here again with the hill and the trees, and it's a, you know, probably growing up kind of in England is kind of how I kind of picture a cricket ground. But Australia is blessed to have these incredible grounds, not just for cricket, but also obviously for Aussie rules. And, keeping investing in the fan experience and making sure everyone has the best day out, entertainment for the kids is really, really important.
If that stadium goes ahead and it has a roof, is that problematic for cricket?
I don't believe so. I think we play at Marvel Stadium in Melbourne, often play under the roof, so I don't believe so.
And what's the current jurisdiction around international cricket on a stadium with a roof?
So each of the grounds we play in need to be accredited by the ICC for international cricket, and I think this would be no different.
Okay. And the Gabba, it feels like everyone's on tenterhooks there. Do you sort of share that view?
Yeah, we are waiting to understand the outcome of this review. We're obviously speaking closely with the Queensland government, and on that, but I think everybody is waiting to understand the outcome of the review.
So how badly does the Gabba need something, whether it's a facelift, a refurbishment, or I feel like the rebuild is off the table? Do you feel like the Gabba needs something?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's been very well documented that it's approaching the end of its useful economic life as it is. So whether it's a redevelopment or whether it's a refurbishment, it absolutely needs investment. And you know, again, I mentioned earlier on, we're very excited that cricket's in the LA 28 games. I think cricket being part of the Olympics in Brisbane 32 is a really exciting proposition. And so, you know, as you know, I spent 6 years working on the London Games, and there's nothing like a fixed deadline to get things done. So, you know, having a great stadium in Legacy, a great stadium, great facilities around the games, is an opportunity, I think, not to be missed. And you know, one of the other pieces of work that we're doing is working with Queensland Cricket to make sure that, you know, whether it's a refurbishment or whether it's a redevelopment, that for the period that those works go on, cricket's not disadvantaged. And I think we've been clear and consistent that we think Allan Borderfield, which is an amazing facility, great lights, great scoreboards, you know, great amenity for patrons, if we could build that out to a 10,000-seater stadium, it could serve a purpose for cricket in the Olympics, but also just be a wonderful venue for WBBL, women's international cricket, and the like.
Is it all holding up your seven-year master plan?
Oh, I think so. I mean, it's just wonderful to have support of incredible partners on the TV side, Foxtel and Seven, and then in India with Disney Star. One thing that maybe listeners don't unaware of in Australia and New Zealand is just the coverage that the Big Bash gets in India. Look, there's a great vibe around the game. We've seen it come through with kids playing. So we've now ticked a little over 70,000 for Woolworth Cricket Blast registrations and participants this summer, which has just been brilliant to see, because I think that's a really true indicator that, you know, seeing the incredible performances of Cam Green and the Australian men's and women's team, that is translating through to kids picking up a bat and ball.
Nick, it's good to see you on this side of things.
Fantastic. Thanks very much for having me.